Spin 103.8. This is Spin Talk with Lauren. Today I would like to speak to you. If you have a pug, a shih tzu, a bulldog, any of those types of dogs with small scrunched up noses, because they have a lot of breathing problems. And a head vet over at Battersea Dogs and Cats Home in the UK, Sean Opperman, says there just should be a ban on these dogs being bred because they are seeing so many of them needing to be rehomed because people get them because they see them on Instagram, they see celebrities with French bulldogs, little designer breeds, and they think, oh, that's a cute dog, I want one of them. And they don't understand the amount of time, money and effort that goes into keeping them healthy. You can have the healthiest one of these breeds and it still can cost a fortune. So many of them end up being rehomed. Today I would like to hear what you think. Do you agree with a ban on them being bred? And if you have one of these dogs, have you had many problems with them? Have you had to spend a lot of money dealing with certain issues in your vet, in your vet's office? Let me know. 087 711 1038. You can text or WhatsApp Spin Talk. I'd love to hear from you. Joining me on the line is Gillian Bird from the DSPCA. Hi, Gillian.
Hiya, how are you?
Good, thanks very much. Gillian, I remember speaking to you a couple of years ago about all the huskies that needed to be rehomed because they were the trend, and now it's French bulldogs and pugs.
Yeah, well, the huskies are still a trend thanks to Game of Thrones and films like that. But yes, absolutely, people seem to be going now for more smaller dogs. We've seen that increasing over the last number of years. And people do seem particularly fond of getting the dogs like pugs. If you look into any shop, you'll see pugs all over, birthday cards, and you'll see pugs on mugs and pugs on all sorts of things. So pugs are a very, very popular breed at the moment.
What kind of problems do pugs encounter?
Well, I was having a big long chat with our veterinary team here today, and I was quite enlightened by some of the things, because we do know they have breathing problems. We know that there are some of the airlines that actually won't transport pugs and any of the snub-nosed breed dogs because of the difficulty they can have with breathing. So we know they have these issues, but what I wasn't aware of, and that's quite obvious when you think about it, is they can have huge problems with their teeth, because obviously, you know, the dog has been bred from originally a normal sized dog. So what you've got is a dog's jaw that has been reduced down to nearly half the size or smaller of a normal dog, but they've still the same number of teeth. So apparently they suffer from terrible problems with their teeth. In older life, the teeth are so cramped together that they get a lot of cavities and rotten teeth. And they need to receive an awful lot of veterinary treatment. But when they're growing, when they're small puppies, they go through huge amounts of pain and agony from teething. And it's one of these things that they would be so used to it that it can be what they call chronic pain with them. Mm. Because if you imagine it, they're teething the whole time. Their teeth are growing, but there's not enough room for them. So they can suffer a lot of pain when they're growing through the teething period. And what's very interesting, apparently the snub-nosed dogs don't chew much. They're not the sort of dog now who would gnaw on the table leg to alleviate any of the sort of teething pains. They just don't really have the ability to chew like a lot of dogs with normal-sized noses would.
I have a dining room table that tells another story, Gillian, but we'll get on to that in a minute. Let's talk a bit about British bulldogs. I've spoken to you about mine before and the issues involved with them being overbred. They are so overbred. How does breeding work? Because you hear all these things saying, oh, they're being bred a bit better now, their breathing is better. How does that happen?
Well, you see, what you've got is, when you originally look back to the breeds of dogs, what would have happened is somebody would have turned around and said, right, my dog has had a litter of puppies, and you're starting with something that would have been, you know, originally ancestor of wolf or African hunting dog or some sort of basic dog that we would be familiar when we think the word dog. And what they've done is there would have been some pups that would have been very large or some puppies that may be suffering from dwarfism. And they would have said, oh, do you know what? That puppy's really cute. He's got short little stumpy legs. He's got a little curly tail. It's not great. I love him. Oh, and do you know what? My neighbour up the road, their dog had a puppy that looks just like it. Let's get the two together and breed them. So what you've got is you've got genetic issues that has produced a puppy that is not standard. It is not what, you know, the rest of the dogs would look like. And they've decided to take this variation and breed it. And this has happened over centuries and centuries, where we end up with animals that now look like they do. It's actually very interesting. If you do any research on Google, you can see the way a lot of these dog breeds are portrayed in art back to 16th, 17th century, and now how they look today. So it's quite amazing the way the breeds have changed.
Yeah, I heard you saying to Rachel off air earlier that they all had long snouts initially. Like, they should not have these little stub noses, some of these breeds.
It's been bred into them, yeah. And, you know, it was actually something that the vets were saying to me today, that the majority of these animals as well with a snub nose and the short legs, so the likes of the Bassets, the Dachshunds, they suffer from dwarfism. And as a result of dwarfism, their legs don't form properly and they can suffer chronic leg pain. You've also got the likes of the spine. Because the dog is a shrunk-down version, it doesn't reduce the amount of bones that a dog has in their spine, for example, so that they can have terrible problems with their backs because the spine is compressed together. So the nice spongy plates that are in between our spinal column and our vertebrae are actually compressed, become very, very tough and rigid. And so when the dog jumps off the bed, they can often injure themselves by fracturing some of the plates in their spine and they end up with back problems. So it can be really, really, you know, bad for the animals. It's not that we're saying to people that they shouldn't be bred. What we're saying is there should be responsible breeding. There's a huge amount of dogs being bred out there and they're crossbreeds and they're pugileers and all these things. People just need to be responsible and say, well, look, is it fair to breed a dog that's going to have these sort of problems? Not just physically for the animal, but for the physical costs of keeping this animal for the owners.
Mm. And that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Like, as a dog owner, you can do all the research you want, but nothing really prepares you for the reality of a dog that has health issues and how much that is going to cost you. What advice would you have for people, Gillian?
You really need to do your research properly. A lot of the pet insurance won't cover certain breeds and won't cover certain conditions that some of these breeds have. So basically, you're on your own. You're going to have to pay these fees yourself. And you could be talking about thousands, tens of thousands over the life of the animal to try and fix things that have been bred deliberately. If you want a dog with a short snub nose, then you're going to have a shorter breathing passage, which means you're going to have a dog that's not going to be good in the hot weather, is not going to be able to exercise excessively, and is going to have health issues. So you just need to think of these things through. It's not just because it's a cute little dog I've seen on a mug and all the rest of it. You've got to think about the welfare of the animal. But these animals are suffering a lot of the time.
And on that point, if you are rescuing or rehoming a dog, the likes of the DSPCA Dogs Trust will have that dog's history. Sometimes people think, well, I'll buy a cheaper one or a crossbreed from a puppy farm, and you know nothing of their history then, and then it can cost you a fortune in vet bills when they start encountering trouble.
Exactly. And at least like charities like the DSPCA, what we do is we tell people, we will let people know what things they may come into. We might not have a full history of the animal, but at least we'll be honest and say to you, look, we don't know. This has come from an unregistered breeding establishment. This has come from somebody who's, you know, we know the dog is not going to be particularly healthy. We're not going to try and sell you something that we're going to say to you, oh, this is absolutely a pedigree, purebred, going to be wonderful. Because you just don't know. And you just need to be aware that it's always good to do a huge amount of research on the negative side as well as the positive side of certain dog breeds.
Gillian, always brilliant to have you on Spin Talk. Thank you and the veterinary team at the DSPCA today. Good to speak to you. That's Gillian Bird there from the DSPCA. And as she mentioned, she spoke extensively to the veterinary team there this morning just about some of the problems that these types of dogs can encounter. And as Gillian said, it might necessarily mean a ban on them being bred, but practicing responsible breeding, better regulation. There's so many crossbreeds. There's so many dogs out there suffering needlessly. So I'd love to hear from you today. Have you researched a certain type of dog? Maybe you rescued or rehomed one of these dogs, or maybe you bought one. I'd love to hear from you. Have you encountered health problems with you? Has it cost you a lot of money in the vet? Let me know. You can text or WhatsApp Spin Talk 087 711 1038. Stephen is on the line. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you getting on?
Good, thank you very much. What kind of dog do you have, Stephen?
So I have an English Bulldog, yeah.
Okay, and has the dog ever encountered any health problems?
No, I've never had any issue with Lexi. She's absolutely grand. Like, I've seen some bulldogs now that can barely walk, but mine's really active. The only thing I would say is she snores like a trooper, that's it. Like.
Well, that's a sign, apparently, yeah, because their noses are that bit shorter, their breathing isn't great. And it's very cute when you see videos on Instagram of pugs and bulldogs snoring, but the reason they're snoring is because their breathing isn't great. But, you know,
yeah,
she's
that,
okay.
She's fine, though, yeah. Yeah, absolutely perfect. And my brother has an English bulldog as well, and his is absolutely fine. He's
okay.
A vet. And, yeah,
oh, he's a vet, like, interesting.
Yeah, he's a vet, so like he knows all the breeds and what you can do and what they can get. And now he's confident enough that we won't have any issues. So
okay, so what would your advice be to someone, Stephen, maybe thinking of getting an English Bulldog?
Yeah, I do a bit of research. Like, there is obviously maintenance. You got to wash them and all and take them for a regular walk. But, like, you know, they don't take a huge amount of exercise and then they'll just sleep for a good chunk of the day. So, yeah, it's fairly handy, you know.
And what do you feed the dog?
Sorry, what was that?
What do you feed the dog?
I feed her burns. I just keep dry food. That's it. And I don't give her any human food. And she's absolutely perfect that way, yeah.
And how's her skin?
Skin's fine, yeah. Just give her a bath probably once a week, every once, maybe 2 weeks. And
oh,
that's
really?
It. Yeah, that's fine. Like, okay. Keep cleaning the folds around her face, but other than that, she's fine.
Keep them nice and clean. So what do you think of this idea of banning certain breeds from being bred in the future because of the health issues?
I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous trying to ban a breed. It's kind of the same way with the in the parks when they're trying to ban all breeds or certain breeds from making them wear muzzles. I don't agree with it. Like, it's all down to, you know, responsibility, that kind of way. So,
okay. Stephen, lovely to have you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Cheers.
Similar point to Gillian from the DSPCA, that it does come down to responsible dog ownership. But you're there. Stephen doesn't have massive health problems with his English bulldog. Neither does his brother. And his brother is a vet. Get involved. I'd love to hear from you if you have one of these breeds with a short nose. Do you think that it's fair to them how overbred they are? 087 711 1038. Sinead is next. Hi, Sinead.
Hi.
Sinead, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a French bulldog.
Okay, French bulldogs are super cute. Why did you want one, Sinead?
Well, my brother had one, and it was kind of between that or staff, because I love the breed. I love the staff breeds as well.
Okay.
And it's just about their temperaments and stuff like that. I didn't end up getting the staff. I went for the French bulldog because of the fact that you have to muzzle the staff, and I just don't like that idea. So, yeah, I went for French bulldog. Now, he's been to the vet loads, but none of them have been breed-related problems. He's just very unfortunate. So.
Okay. Well, what kind of things have happened to him?
He's been attacked twice.
Oh.
By other dogs, once by a staff and once by another dog. So, and then just little things like stung by a bee and stuff like that. So it's so.
Okay,
he's probably cost me as much in vet fees as he has bought him, but I wouldn't change him for the world.
Well, him, like, I think a lot of people bringing a dog into their home accept that it's going to cost a lot of money because, you know, if you're a dog lover, you'll treat them like one of the family. So if they have something wrong with them, you'll pay anything to fix it.
Well, I have premium insurance on him. So I pay about €400 a year for his insurance.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, you know, he is a breed that could potentially have problems down the line. And obviously you don't want to be put in a position where, you know, you're not sure if you can afford a certain amount. And, you know, and as for people kind of giving them back, I went around Dogs Trust and all those kind of places looking for French Bulldog, and it's very rare that they are actually given back to rehab. They're such a popular breed.
They really are. And
so, that's why I bought them in the end.
Okay, you bought them in the end. And what kind of advice were you given, like, from the person you got them from?
I wasn't really given really any advice from her, to be honest, because my brother already had one, and I have a friend who works in the DSPCA. Who has one as well. So it wasn't really a case of I'd known the breed and I'd been quite a bit. So I kind of knew what they're like, you know.
Yeah. And how old is your dog, Sinead?
He'll be 3 in November.
Okay.
Didn't get him, he was like 4.5 months old. So, but 3 in November. And well, I'd be lost without him.
Okay. Do you know what their life expectancy is at all, French bulldogs?
They say 8 or 9 years, but some can live kind of 12 years.
Yeah, same with British Bulldogs, I think.
Yeah, so it's that part of it is tough, because I can't imagine what it'd be like in 6 years' time. But like, he's a lovely dog, and, you know, he's great natured. Everybody loves him. He's so good to be around, you know.
They have a lovely temperament. And this is the thing, like, there's so many videos and clips of them on the internet for a reason with kids, because they're so good with them. It's a tough one today, Sinead. Thanks a million for coming on. Lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, and you. Thanks, Emil.
Bye now. Two really good positive experiences there from listeners. One with an English bulldog, one with a French bulldog. I've mentioned this loads on the show, and I've spoken to Gillian in the past. I have a British bulldog, so same as an English bulldog, British bulldog. And we did a lot of research. Nothing could have prepared me for the amount they cost in vet bills. He did have health complications in the beginning. Thankfully, everything is good now. But as Stephen said earlier on, it comes down to how you take care of them. And once they're well fed and you've got them on good feed, fingers crossed, everything goes okay. But I do think people taking on certain breeds without doing any research is a bit silly because, you know, as Sinead said, you need insurance. I'd like to hear from you. Do you think maybe they should maybe not ban these dogs being bred in the future, but definitely have tighter restrictions around them and just more responsible breeding? I'm on 087 711 1038. Brent says these are genetically engineered breeds. Through thousands of generations of selective breeding, the breeds are inherently predisposed to complications from years of inbreeding to keep the highly sought-after lineage. The vet does have a very valid point. And I think a lot of people who work either with the likes of Dogs Trust, the DSPCA, rehoming animals, or vets would agree with that. Kira says, I don't agree with this. There are health issues with all breeds. I have a boxer and people always say to me, I'd love one of them, but I've heard they come with so many issues. I actually get so offended because my one-year-old pup is a barrel of health. It's down to the breeding and the breeder, but not the breeds. When they are inbred, yes, they have terrible breathing issues and they do suffer, but not when bloodlines are carefully selected by the wonderful breeders that we have here in Ireland. And there are lots of responsible people breeding dogs, but unfortunately there are so many more who aren't doing so responsibly. And for every really responsible dog owner, there is a very irresponsible dog owner who mightn't have done the research, who mightn't be aware of what goes into taking care of any dog. Forget the breed. All dogs deserve to be taken good care of and be fed properly. And like you heard Stephen there, like, you know, cleaning in around the dog's foals. Yeah, like bulldogs obviously have the roly-poly skin and they can get bits of food and everything trapped in. And while it's gas, it's, you know, can it can get infected and it can hurt them. You have to keep them clean. Anne joins me on the line now. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. And I'm very interested to speak to you. I hear you're the health officer at the Poodle Club of Ireland.
Yes, yep.
And I don't know much about poodles, but these are quite overbred as well, according to some sources.
Poodles, no. Poodles would be more in a decline than overbred.
Really?
So I don't know where that's coming from.
But poodles and labradoodles and cockapoodles and all the different poodles.
They're not the same.
Okay.
They're crossbreeds. And I mean, you know, people are doing a designer breeds and they don't know what they're getting into. I mean, you're picking a Labrador, say labradoodles and a poodle, and they get them so they're hyperallergenic. They're not hyperallergenic. They do molt, right?
Okay.
So a Labrador molts more than any other dog and poodles don't molt. Well, they do, but it's over a much longer stage.
Right.
Their coat goes through sort of four stages of growing and then it falls out. It doesn't just grow and grow and never fall out. So they're asking for trouble. Labradors have hip problems and I know I have a Labrador and I have standard poodles. So they're just picking dogs and think they're cute and poojons and coojons and cockapoos and everything else. They don't know what their temperaments are like. They're not doing any health testing. They're just, usually people are just picking, you know, oh, I have a cute Bichon and I have a cute cocker and I'll mix them. They look lovely and you pay more money for them. But they do often find that they have aggression problems and skin problems and health problems and that's where it's going from. But the poodles, as a rule, don't.
Okay.
But any dogs can have health problems. And the road to go down is to ring the Irish Kennel Club, pick a reputable breeder, and most reputable breeders will have done health testing specific to their breed. Like, I do things like, hip tests, eye scores. Hip tests will tell you how good their hips are, how bad their eye scores, to see if they're going to go blind. Von Willebert's disease, or SA, which is a skin test, to see if they're going to get any of these things. So you do as much as you can. You don't do inbreeding. You pick the best dogs. And the idea is to improve the health of the next litter.
Okay. And that sounds very responsible, Anne. Unfortunately, not everyone is a responsible breeder.
No, but not everybody is a responsible owner and they buy any dog and they will buy dogs that, you know, have limping and can't breathe and they say, oh, the poor thing, and they buy them off puppy farmers and they buy them for that reason because they say, oh, gosh, she'd be put down.
Yeah.
But the dog is probably better put down than go through a miserable life and it'll stop these people from breeding willy-nilly anything, mixed breeds, that they're paying a fortune for and they're going to spend a fortune in vet fees, you know?
Yeah.
But you have the things like the Sharpeys and Bulldogs where you have to mind their wrinkles and people are good owners like that guy there. A lot of skin allergies, which you get a huge amount of Westies, you know, the West Highland White.
Yeah.
And Bichons have skin problems. Macy. And
sorry, I can hear Macy. I couldn't concentrate there for a second. I can hear the dog in the background. Cute.
Yeah, she can see me, but she's not sitting on my knee.
Is she a poodle?
But No, no, she's not.
Okay.
No,
I have this image of you surrounded by poodles, Anne.
Yeah, big white poodles. They're like rugs. But, I mean, I check the families that my dogs go to. I do a home check. If there's anything that I think is not suitable, they're not getting one of my pups. That's it. It's not just come up, pick your dog, and off you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's good
I
to hear.
Get vet references, and I get people to go to their house that I know and see that it's a suitable home, things like that, you know, or that I know them through somebody else. It's not just, you can't just ring up and say, oh, I'd love one, I'll take one, and that's not it, you know.
Yeah.
Because you have them for life. They are your pal, your companion, and they deserve a good life.
They really do.
They need to be groomed. I mean, Bichons and that need to be groomed every 4-6 weeks, and the condition that an awful lot of dogs go into groomers are a disgrace. Disgrace. Solid full of mass, poo all over them, bad ears, eye infection, and they want to get them done twice a year. They don't brush them in between. They don't take care of them. You know, it's a huge amount that is down to the people as well that are causing these problems.
So responsible breeding, but also responsible ownership.
And responsible ownership. But go to the Irish Kennel Club. Ask for a good breeder. Check that the breeder is good and see if they've done health testing. You know, there's particular tests for different dogs, you know, and take care of your dog. Cut its nails. Dog's nails grow like crazy and they hurt them, so cut the nails. Wash your dog.
And you're a woman who knows what she's talking about. Thanks a million for coming on.
All right, take care.
Lovely to have you today. Thanks so much. I'm so glad Anne was listening. And I know, look, she's directing people to the Kennel Club. If you are going to shop, that is what we would recommend you do. But always adopt before you shop. And I know Gillian would insist on that, who we were speaking to from the DSPCA. Also, our good friends at Dogs Trust, who've always been so kind. There are so many dogs that need homes out there before you think about going to the likes of the Kennel Club. But Anne made a really good point there. And I know it's so hard, but if you go to a puppy farm and there's a dog there that you feel, oh, well, it'll be put down if I don't take it. As Anne said, some of those dogs are better off. And I know that's horrific, but it is all about improving the health of these animals. I don't know if you agree with that, but let me know your thoughts. 087 711 1038. So many messages coming into me on Spin Talk. I would love to hear what you think today. 087 711 1038. A little earlier on, we had Stephen telling us about his English bulldog, and he mentioned his brother, who's a vet, who also has a bulldog, and that's David. He's on the line. Hi, David.
How you things? How's it doing?
Did Stephen forget to say a few things and you had to ring in and, you know, correct a few bits and pieces, David?
Yeah, probably. Well, knowing Stephen, he probably meant talking all sorts of nonsense anyway.
No, it was great to hear from him, and I was saying a couple of minutes after we spoke to him that he sounds like a very responsible dog owner, and that like he cleans Lexi's skin folds because bulldogs have them and he takes very good care of her. As a vet, do you see a lot of bulldogs with health issues, David?
Yeah, to an extent, but health disease is a very broad term, I'd say. Like, they have issues, but they're not issues that obstruct them from having very normal lives. It's like if you said you had humans with asthma or something. Yes, they have health issues, but you're not going to ban people with asthma or something like that. There's stuff that can be managed. There's stuff that surgically have to be repaired.
I know, but they are being bred for demand, and the gene pool is pretty small, I suppose. So that is the worry, and they do have, you know, certain issues. What are some of the issues that you meet bulldogs with?
Well, just mainly respiratory problems because they're a brachycephalic breed, which basically means their snouts are somewhat crushed in or smaller than they should be. Mm-hmm. So they often have upper airway problems. But like, for instance, my bulldog, she's got a perfect airways. She doesn't do any of that snoring or any of that struggle breathing that some bulldogs. It's all about proper breeding. And you mentioned about a small gene pool. My dog isn't even an Irish bred dog. She was born in Cork, but both her parents are UK imports. So a narrow gene pool has really nothing to do with it at this stage, with people being able to buy semen from all over the world.
Okay. Yeah, because there isn't as many of them in Ireland as there is in the UK. And I suppose a few people have pointed that out about this vet we were discussing in the UK calling for this ban. There isn't as many of them here. There's more pugs, I reckon. What do you think?
Yeah, pugs would definitely. I'd see a lot more pugs in my business than I would do than I would do bulldogs. Bulldogs are probably, they're probably more of an up-and-coming breed, if you will, an up-and-coming fashion statement, I suppose.
What about pugs then? What kind of issues do they have that you've seen?
Pretty much the exact same as English bulldogs. It's all those brachycephalic breeds are all classified into one group. It's all they've got the bad airways, basically, because of the lack of the longer snout, you know, and elongated soft palates, basically.
So what advice would you have for someone maybe who's thinking about getting one of these breeds? What kind of things would you say to them
to think about? Honestly, think about it properly. Be aware of some of the issues and the costs of some of the issues that can go wrong with them. And buy from reputable breeders. Don't be buying off websites and magazines that are advertising pups 24/7. I'd be doing a lot of research into where you're getting them from, looking at the parents, and really look at that pup and try not to go blind when you see this cute pup in front of you. Mm-hmm. Have a look at it, listen to its breathing, listen to the parents' breathing. See if it's struggling. If it's struggling to breathe as a young pup, you know you're going to get guaranteed issues as an adult dog as well. So I try not to be blinded by puppies based on the cuteness of them.
Oh, it's so hard. But, okay.
And think long-term about them.
Okay. David, Anne, who we spoke to a couple of minutes ago, is the health officer with the Poodle Club of Ireland, and she mentioned good diet. How important is diet for certain types of breeds? For all breeds, but these particular ones that might have skin issues, like Anne mentioned a few breeds with skin issues.
Yeah, our diet plays a huge role, obviously, with dogs. The amount of dogs we're seeing coming in with allergies and with obesity is just ridiculous. Probably a day doesn't go by that I don't have a dog in with either obesity as an issue or skin allergies as an issue. And it's all down to diet. And the likes of a lot of supermarkets selling these cheap alternatives isn't helping anything. People are buying what's cheapest or not. Like, you wouldn't do that to yourself. You wouldn't be buying the cheapest food all the time because you know it's going to affect your health at the end of the day.
So food is very important, and maybe look into the type of food. Like, some dogs suit wet food better. Some prefer dry mix, that kind of thing.
Exactly. I'd just be looking at the quality. I wouldn't necessarily be looking at whether it's dry or wet. I don't think that's an issue, really. Unless you're worried about the dog's teeth, but just looking at the quality of the food that you're actually feeding, what percent of that food is actually decent quality.
Okay, that's a good thing to know. David, thanks a million for coming on today and getting in touch, and to Stephen as well.
Yep.
Good to hear from you.
No problem.
Bye now. That's David there. He's a vet. He also has an English bulldog. His brother Stephen was on with us a little earlier on. I'd really like to hear from you today. Maybe you have had a dog with health issues. Would it make you think about that type of breed again in the future? Steph says, I have 4 very happy and healthy Shih Tzus, mom, dad and pups. Oh, I believe there's a picture of them on our Facebook page, actually. Thanks, Steph. Never had any hassle with breathing problems. Dogs with smaller snouts aren't the problem. It's the owners who don't care for dogs properly. Kira says, our Shih Tzu Sandy, we had for 16 beautiful years, not one single health issue. Was the best little dog ever, healthy and happy throughout her life. So I don't agree fully with this statement. And that is the statement that's on our Facebook page about dogs, certain breeds having health issues because they are so overbred. The thing is, and I know people might want to hear this, but speaking to Gillian Bird from the DSPCA earlier on, who had consulted with the veterinary team there, certain breeds, pugs she mentioned in particular, they are so used to the pain that they can be in. She mentioned their teeth and their jaws and how painful that can be. Dogs can't tell us that they're uncomfortable or that they're in pain. They might try to, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, my dog is really happy, my dog is really healthy. At the end of the day, we don't know for certain how happy they are and how comfortable they are, just to note that. Ken says, I honestly don't get these short snout dogs at all. They don't look nice, they can't breathe, and they're purely being bred for the selfishness of materialistic people. They're essentially disabled dogs. It's like a human being born with a tiny nose and then bred for hundreds of years. It's bizarre when you think about it. I completely agree with this vet. Put them out of their misery. Now, Ken, back up Le Truc there for a second. We're not talking about putting down all the dogs that are these type of breeds, just not breeding them again in the future, just so everyone's clear on that. But what do you think of Ken's point that they are just being bred for the selfishness of materialistic people? Let me know your thoughts. 087 711 1038. You can text or WhatsApp. Elaine says, my friend got a pug a few years ago. Personally, I don't get them. She spent a fortune on her health bills. Some of the issues aren't even covered by her health insurance. She makes so much noise around the house. My friend is constantly worrying or panicking about her. Also, it's not like you can bring pugs on big walks or anything. I just don't see the point in them. My friend told me after a few drinks that if she could go back, she would have chosen another breed. A real breed. Oh my God, I hope your pug wasn't within hearing distance of that, or your friend's pug wasn't. But if you have a dog with health issues, now we heard from a few people earlier on, sound like lovely, responsible dog owners, and who all said, look, there's nothing I wouldn't stop at if they needed something. Sinead was speaking about her French bulldog. She was like, look, he's had a few issues. He's been attacked a couple of times. I wouldn't be without him. for Lane's friend to be like, yeah, if I could go back, I'd get a different breed. Like, there is dogs that end up having to be rehomed because people don't realise the amount of work that goes into them. They just see, as David said, they're blinded by the cute puppy and they don't think long term. Be honest, has that happened in your house? Maybe there was a dog that everyone wanted and you didn't realise the amount of work and money that went into keeping it healthy and fit. I'm on 087 711 1038. Get involved in the conversation. I'd love to hear what you think on this one today. 087 711 1038.